Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in as The Drive is back with you. We are on a head out to NRG and here in just a second to hear from D'Amico Ryans, the head coach. First time he has spoke since the release of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Shout out to our guy Cecil Shorts III, who I believe is going through therapy sessions each week now. He had to get that off his chest about C.J. Man said, we taking the pull-ups off, baby. We putting the big boy draws on.
That's basically what he was texting me whenever we were talking last night. I was like, damn.
Yeah, I'm still texting with him. He had to get that off his chest. That's all right, man. We're here for you. Sit on the couch. Hopefully it's rejoice next week with him. But D'Amico coming up here shortly. We also will hear from the quarterback C.J. Stroud as well. B. Scott, who's covering everything, he'll join us in the 4 o'clock hour for his Texans report. So a lot to get to here. Let's head down to NRG and hear from the head coach. Here is D'Amico Ryan speaking to the media.
I know everyone saw the news where we released CeeDee. Just with CeeDee the best. Unfortunately, we just moved on. And for me, every decision I make is always in the best interest of our team. I felt this is the best decision for us to move forward. And so now we're here. We're on to the Titans.
Why did you think it was in the best interest of the team?
Yeah, because it's my decision to move on. I know it's best for my team.
Performance or something else? There's been a lot of news reports on it.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into all the details of it. It was coming from me, the head coach, is my team, it was the best for our team. And that's why I made the decision, so I'm not going into any further details on it.
Did you seek a trade partner, or did you get any interest from other teams?
No.
How much better do you think this will make the team going forward with this move?
Today we had a really great practice getting started with the Titans. Really good team. Young quarterback's done a really nice job. Seeing that they've changed play callers, they're making some changes as well. But I'm excited for this next opportunity. We get another opportunity here at home, right? Collectively as a team, we're excited about going out and playing better. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're focused on. Had a really great day of practice today. Great energy, great deliberate work from our coaches, from our players. Everybody's just dialed in to what we need to do to go get a win.
When it comes to MJ Stewart and also Kalen Mullick, how do you feel about that tandem, and what do you feel like MJ can bring to the table?
MJ stepped in. MJ's played ball for us, and he's went out and played well. So MJ will definitely get some reps at safety, and I know MJ will do a great job with it.
You set a culture and a standard when you first got here. How do you decipher when that is not a good mix for your team, for your locker room?
Yeah, for me, I have a great pulse of our team. Right, and I know our locker room, I know what's going on with and around our team, and I'm always keen and aware of what's going on. And that's why it's what it should be as a head coach. And, it's always my first rule or team rule for our guys, always protect the team. And it starts with me as a head coach to making sure everybody is on the same page with being a team first mentality. Right, I've said that from my opening press conference here, and that'll always be me. It'll always be about the team. It'll never be about one person. It'll never be about me personally. It's just collectively as a team. Like, that's how you go win. That's how you do great things. You do great things with everybody collectively working together, being on the same page and doing it with a joyful spirit, joyful attitude. And that's what I always stand on.
By being a former player, do you does that also heighten your awareness of what's going on? You're able to use some of your instincts from when you was a player?
Just instincts from just being, it's just, I think it's just having the emotional intelligence just to fill out the room, fill out everything. So it's just being a player, coach, everything goes into play there of me making the decisions that I make, not just being a player, but just having my eyes open.
Is that something you have to? When you say to your team, when you make a move like this, which is, you know, obviously is significant, the 3 weeks in, what do you say to them that you can share with us? How do you approach the team?
Yeah, for our team today, I just want us to get back to the basics of what it's going to take to win the game, right? And not get into all the noise that goes on the outside, whatever that is, whatever is written, whatever is said about, you know, our team. I just want our guys to get back to the basics of what it takes to win. And that's how you prepare, right? It's how you execute. How do you own your fundamentals? How do you own your techniques? When we do those things the right way, that's all that matters. And so I just wanted to refocus our guys and come to a point of like what truly anchors us as a team, right? And it's those things. If we are detailed in our preparation, if we execute well, if we play the right way, we attack the ball, we protect the ball, we protect the team, like we're gonna be just fine. I just wanted to reset our team in that manner, and that was the message for them today.
You mentioned the pulse of your team. How do you feel like where it is this week, how their attitude is as you guys try to get this thing on track?
Our guys have a great attitude out on the field today, man, working intentional, man, working fast, got done with practice faster than expected. Everybody's executing really well today, and I was just told the guys at the practice really proud of the way that they worked. Right? You can feel the energy. You can feel how guys are moving around, how guys were on it with their assignments and where they're supposed to be. So really proud of the work we put in today. It's definitely, that's what you have to do. Control the day. We control today the right way. So I'm excited to see, go watch it, right? Correct the things we need to correct. Let's come out and have another great day tomorrow.
Going for a player like Gardner Johnson, does that come as a surprise to any of the guys on the roster, or are they understanding of why you made that decision?
Yeah, I don't think it was a surprise. If it is, that's the league. It's always surprises each and every year in the league. So if it's a surprise to them, you know, it's okay. Everybody will be all right. Just a quick reset for everybody. Refocus on what we need to focus on. And again, as I spoke about, we're moving forward to how can we focus on beating the Titans. Again, it's not about one person. It's about our team going and trying to win a game.
What do you see from Cam Ward, having played his high school football near here and the top overall pick?
Hey, Cam, the thing that jumps out on tape when I put it on, he has a live arm, right? Very talented player, right? Athletic, moves around, can extend plays, and he can throw the ball a mile. So we have to make sure we're plastering in coverage. You got to make sure you're covering guys twice because his athletic ability to move around, extend plays, throwing the ball across field, making some wow factor plays. So we got to do a great job as a rush unit of trying to keep him contained as best as we can.
Do you have an update on Sting and Titus Howard? Did they practice both those guys today?
Yeah, Sting didn't go today. Sting is still dealing with his oblique injury. He's still day-to-day. Titus has had an illness today. Hopefully we'll see him out there tomorrow.
Going back to the culture aspect, as you mentioned, it's about playing better on the field. But whether it's this situation or just the tough starts of the season, how can the culture that you helped establish when you got here help even just mentally with the guys that you guys go through?
The culture that I've set here, the thing about it is, you know, a couple years ago, it hasn't changed. So the guys that have been here, the guys who know what I said on day one, I haven't changed. I haven't wavered on my message and my mindset on how to run a team, right? We're going to do it with guys who play with great energy, guys who are relentless, guys who want to work, right? And that I'll never change that. Right, I always stand on that because I know it works. If you have special people who work with a special mindset, we can go and attack anything.
So, D'Amico, you talked about, you said last week that you meet with CJ every week. How would you assess where he is in terms of not just physically, but emotionally?
Yeah, meeting CJ this week, man, I feel like he's in a really great spot mentally, clear mind, understanding, like I got to play better. right? He understands that, and that's the first step to making strides and getting better, is understanding and admitting, like, hey, I know I have to play better so the team can be better. Let's go. So I'm excited to see him press forward, go play better, excited to see everybody around him play better as well.
Do you feel you are a better team today than y'all were yesterday?
We'll see where we are on Sunday. All right?
D'Amico, what do you hope or what do you want to see from your offense this week?
I just want to see our offense go out and just play a clean game, right? And that's not having the silly penalties, things that we control, right? Pre-snap penalties, those things. Can we just play a clean game, and can we just stay on schedule? Can we operate not from a third and long, second and long position? Can we just stay on schedule? Can we make positive plays on first down to get the drive started, right? For a couple weeks here in a row, we just haven't seeing who we can be because we haven't started the right way. So I just want to see our offense go out, get off to a great start, and continue to start drives in a positive manner to help us be in, okay, manageable second down situations. Let's skip some third downs, and then let's get into some manageable third downs as well if that opportunity presents itself. But just let's go out, let's play on time, let's play efficient, and let's play fast and physical.
What have you made of Tay's performance over the first 3 weeks going up against some tough matchups?
Yeah, as a rookie, Tay stepped in, and he's done a really nice job as a rookie, right? And we know, and he admitted he had a rough game versus a really good player, right? That's to be understood, right? When you're going against a tough player, they're going to make some plays as well, right? But Tay has done a really good job, and he'll keep getting better, right? He plays with the right mindset. He shows up every day, works every day the right way. He'll continue to get better because his mind is set on getting better. So I'm proud of what he's done so far in his first 3 weeks in the NFL.
How do you account for what Jeffrey Simmons brings to the table with their defense and how he can affect the game?
Ooh, that guy. Man, that's a problem, right? Jeffrey is an outstanding player. He's definitely one of the best D tackles, defensive linemen in the league right now. You talk about a guy playing with – you know, relentless motor, physicality, just he's not stopping, right? And so for us as a front, offensive line, we got to do a great job of, you know, being aware of where he is. We got to make sure he's always accounted for. We got to make sure that we got a strain to block him, right? You have to outwork him. It's going to be a tough task because that's what he's about. He's about outworking his opponents, so we got to show up. And let's see how we're going to show up against a really good player. Can we show up and outwork him? If our mind is right, we can. So we know it's going to be a challenge for four quarters because he's going to bring it. He's the best player on their team. He's been the best player on their team for a long time. And so we understand what we're going up against.
Coach, you know, everybody is aware of the record. You're not a person who really likes in-season distractions. And how hard was it for you to have to make that decision on yesterday with CJ Carter-Johnson?
It's not hard for me to make decisions, Sarge, when it's about my team, right? And that's, for me as the head coach, you know, you have to make what others may feel as a difficult decision. But for me, whenever it's about the team and I stick to my core values that it's all about the team, then any decision about it, that makes it easy for me because I know where we stand and I know what everybody here, you know, in our organization, on our team, in the locker room, I know what everybody stands for. I know what everyone is about. So everyone's looking at me to make the right decision. I always do that for my players.
All right, you heard from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. Clint, he said a lot there. He addressed the big thing people were listening for, the C.J. Gardner-Johnson situation. Said it was best for the team. As you just heard there at the end, it's not hard to make decisions when it's about my team. He knows his core values, and it's easy to make decisions based off that. Your thoughts from what you heard there from D'Amico?
Well, I mean, I think the part that sticks out to me is how quick he was when he was asked about any trade. Did y'all, you know, at least entertain a trade, or did you get any calls, or did you call anybody? And he said, nope. Clearly, this was a deal where he was fed up. He had enough. And the caliber player that he was dealing with didn't matter. The Super Bowl pedigree didn't matter. He felt like that whatever this particular guy was bringing to the table far outweighed the talent and what he was doing on the field, and the risk that keeping exposing his team to that guy and have that guy just keep being an issue with this team must have been absolutely a tremendous risk, because the guy's a really good player. The guy behind him is nowhere near the player he is.
They kept playing him.
Yeah, you kept playing him. You don't have anybody. You don't have anybody else that brings this level of resume, if you will, in terms of that Super Bowl experience. I don't think you have anybody else off the top of my head that brings that. And so all I can say is that it must have gotten to a point where it was really, really, really bad for them to part ways with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And it sounds like it from the it seems like.
Oh, yes, that is certainly the narrative they are painting.
Yeah, no, that's the narrative they're painting for sure. And I mean, D'Amico's not. There's no bones about it. I mean, he said I have a great pulse for my team. I know what's going on with my team. I always protect my team. It's a team first mentality. It's always the case. It's always going to be the case. And I mean, all that does is lead me to believe that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case with C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
And he didn't fit his core values.
Yeah, and it must have been blatantly obvious, and it must have been going on for an extended period of time for him to feel confident that this is the route to go, especially when Jimmy Ward's not there, especially when Derek Stingley Jr. is down and you've got some injuries in that secondary overall. Because like I said yesterday, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know what calls the Texans do and don't have. All the plays that are being pointed out that C.J. Gardner-Johnson allowed the opponent to score points on, I could see where it could be his fault. I could see where he's doing right in some of them. So it's got to go well beyond that, Ron. It's got to go well beyond just a couple of busting coverage. It's got to go well beyond just, well, he wasn't really picking up D'Amico's defense.
No.
It's got to be bigger than that. It's got to be almost personal with D'Amico and several guys for this to come to a head so quickly.
My man said, I'm not going to go in any details. Well, hell, no, you ain't got to go in no more details. Yeah. Y'all done gone into enough details.
Yeah, it leaked.
I ain't going to go into no details. No, you already gave. You gave the most details I've ever seen. And then for me, the other part that was cringeworthy for me, and I've seen it up and down the text line, I've said to myself, he went Bill Belichick on this. He went on to the Titans.
Yeah.
And we're on to, he had his on to Cincinnati moment. We're on to the Titans. I said, all right, here we go. Move it right on through. We'll see. One thing I really did agree with him is, I think Landry asked him, hey, you guys a better football team today than you were yesterday. He said, I guess we'll see on Sunday.
Yeah.
I guess we will.
I mean, I know there was potentially some busting coverage that cost you points, but there was also some pretty consistent play of getting downhill, getting in the box, making tackles, and being a good player for this defense. So when a guy like this gets cut, all of a sudden, and I know it was leaked, obviously, everybody starts pointing at the couple of plays that could have been busting on his accord, but there was a lot of really good plays out there as well. So it's going to be a little bit of a step back from a talent perspective with the defense this week. Yeah.
All right, coming up as we continue, it's Wednesday, a little stock up, stock down. You can give us your stock up from the Texans and who is stock down for you. We'll do that coming up next.
Tootski, come on. Mm-hmm.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Ah.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
I tell him to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
That's right, every hump day right here on The Drive, Sterner and Hughley, right around 3:20 p.m. This second 3 p.m. segment, we do a little stock up, stock down. And today, of course, is stock up, stock down, week 4 edition. The Texans are winless. They're 0-3. They're also C.J. Gardner-Johnson-less now. Heading into week 4, Titans.
Hey, on to the Titans.
Hey, you beat me to it. You beat me to it.
On to the Titans.
That's right. Them fake-ass Oilers. Them fans up in Nashville, that squad up in Nashville that likes to pretend the history of the city of Houston is theirs, they're coming to NRG Stadium on Sunday for Week 4. Want to start with you, Ron, the show. Stock up for the Texans heading into Week 4 against the Titans.
All right, stock up here. I know the numbers don't show it, but if you watch the game and rewatch things, Clint, I'm going to go Woody Marks. I think stock up for Woody Marks, and hopefully Nick Kaley and company sees it as well, but there are plays to be made to Woody Marks in the passing game especially. Hell, if you go look at the play in which the final play that decided the game, the third down and one, where they did a full drop back pass and obviously Hines Allen was able to tip it to lead to the interception, he's wide open for a big gain, right? And there are multiple plays where he has been in a space where they could take advantage of him in the run game and especially in the pass game. And in the run game, man, Woody Marks got to be one of your more explosive players on the team right now. And I think they are looking for that. I would hope they are looking for that. And you could just see openings there for him to take advantage of. And if they've talked about this being comparative to the Patriots offense of Tom Brady, hell, he'd have had 100 yards passing with Tom Brady if he was playing the James White role,
yeah,
as he was open, yeah, a lot there. So I think his load should jump up. Woody Marks, to me, is my stock up.
Well, he's definitely a guy that since the beginning of the season has just continued to trend in the right direction. And look, when I'm watching the film, he's missed a couple of holes that I think would have been decent runs for him, good chunk runs for him. But there's no doubt about it that the positive side of it is boy, he's got some twitch. He's got a burst. He's got some speed. He's clearly the back on this team that has that elite ability in the tank right now. And so, yeah, Ron, I'm with you, man. I think the stock is up, and I'll be honest with you, the stock is up, and I still think it's a good time to buy because I think it continues to soar.
Stock up for Ron the Show. Hughley is the rookie running back. Woody Marks, over to you, former NFL quarterback, Dirty Red Clint Sterner. Your stock up for the Texans heading into Week 4 against the Titans.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ed Ingram. At that right guard position. I mean, I think that was the position coming into this thing where it was like, hey, Laken Tomlinson, Jake Andrews, where your guard center, and then Titus was your right tackle, and whether it was Cam Robinson or Ariante Ursher was going to be your left tackle. I think that right guard was where I was really like, hey, what are we going to do at right guard? That's where I was concerned. And boy, not only has Ed Ingram stepped in, I think this past week he's played really well. He's not, nobody on the front is playing great, but when you look at what the expectations were and kind of how he came here, I didn't expect much, and I think he's playing above expectations, what my expectations were. And I'll be honest with you, there's some physicality that he shows, there's some finish, there's some strain. The things that D'Amico are constantly talking about, you see in Ed Ingram's play. So, look, I think he's got that right guard position on lock. I think he allows Titus Howard to go to right tackle, Ariante Ursher to go to left tackle. It allows the tackles to play tackle, so there's some added bonus there with Ed Ingram. I think his stock right now is, seems like they're committed to him at right guard and not putting a lot of pressure on him. It may be higher than it's ever been in his NFL career, not just with the Texans.
Hey, he's the one you ain't really noticing.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that's a good thing out of the group. So, yeah, it's playing better than I thought.
You are treating your ears right now to The Drive with Sterner and Hughley every Wednesday, 3:30-ish. We're doing a little stock up, stock down, talking Texans Week 4 with the Titans coming to Houston. Staying right there with you, Dirty Red. Clint, what is your stock down for the Texans as the Titans are coming to Houston?
I'm going to go with Christian Kirk. I thought, and I know it was his first game back, so everybody relax a little bit. I'm not completely out on Christian Kirk, but I expected Christian Kirk to have more of an immediate impact on the game. And you know, we hear about this Tom Brady offense, we hear about him watching film, we see him trying to execute perfect protections, and the staple that always was in that offense was a slot receiver that just seemed to always be open and always be a ball magnet and made big plays in critical moments. And I guess I just expected to see more than a couple of catches out of Christian Kirk. I expected more of the controlled routes underneath than the shots over the top with Christian Kirk. And so I'll be honest with you, I know it was his first game back, but still, my expectations were to see him impact this offense more than he did.
Yeah, and I don't think it's all him. I was surprised he wasn't part of
the
game plan more.
And put a lid on this thing for us. We're on the show, Hughley. Stock down in your eyes for the Houston Texans in week four with the Titans coming to NRG.
I think stock down for me, Derek Stingley Jr. One, he has the injury, and he missed the second half and some of the first half, and he didn't practice again today. So, obviously, he may not play in this game with the oblique situation. But even with that, Clint, he hasn't been as sharp as he was. And maybe that is the injury, because I know the oblique thing or maybe the rib thing's been a deal since the Rams game. But he's given up plays. Gave up, he gave up some plays in week one. And then, you know, he had the pass interference penalty that led to the first touchdown in the end zone.
Yeah.
As we talk about other people allowing big plays and touchdowns, there was one there. This is a guy we were thinking him and Patrick Surtain, they may be, you know, fighting for the belt on who's the best corner in football. And, yeah, guys have been making plays on him. And just hasn't been the same shutdown as it was the previous year. So that to me, stock down Derek Stingley right now.
Yeah, the injuries, which are starting to kind of creep back up on him, obviously. And like you said, I think he was targeted and teams had a little success on him early in the season, which, you know, look, I hate to keep going back to this, but, you know, not getting the way that camp was executed this year with all of the pressure on the quarterback and not a lot of time to just, hey, man, really test the receivers outside and get a lot of really good work in. It's not a surprise that earlier in the year when you see Davante Adams and Puka Nacua, you see Mike Evans, you know, you got there's some pretty damn good receivers that have been thrown out there. If Brian Thomas Jr. could catch, he'd be in that conversation. But, it seems like there's that teams had a little more success targeting Derek Stingley Jr. than expected.
Davante gave him some trouble in week one. Now, he's a great receiver, but, you know, you may have a guy get one play on him. He got a couple on him in the game. All right, that's Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built to protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Coming up, we hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. We'll get his thoughts on last week's game as they look forward, to take on the Titans. C.J. Stroud to the media coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we heard from D'Amico Ryans earlier today, and he gave his thoughts on the C.J. Gardner-Johnson situation, stating that it was a decision that he made best for the team, did not have a trade partner. Now, didn't specify if they looked for one, but he said there was no when he was asked about a potential trade. Said he knows what's best for his team, can understand the pulse of his team, and it was a move that needed to be made for the best thing for his team. So that was D'Amico earlier. Let's head to NRG now and hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud.
You're in a really good place. How'd you characterize, obviously, going through that, what you hope for, but just your outlook for the team, the offense, everything improving?
Yeah, I'm hopeful. You know, I'm faithful to the process and to our team. And, yeah, I'm just, you know, charging every day, staying positive and, you know, trying to take guys with me to, you know, to win games. So, yeah.
What's been your, like, message to the team this week as one of the leaders as you guys try to get on track?
Stay together, stick together, stay positive, be urgent, just simple things like that. I think, you know, just – everybody kind of knows what's up, but also I have to, you know, make sure that I'm vocal about it as well.
CJ, you're a captain on this team. You have a real strong pulse of the locker room and of the players. And at what point did you all realize that maybe that CJ Gardner-Johnson wasn't a good fit for this team?
I don't really think I felt like that or the team. I mean, I think they have their own reasons, you know, Nick and D'Amico. And you know, I think as a team, you know, we brought him in. And he was part of the locker room, and, you know, everybody was, you know, our whole team is close, you know? Like, we all hang out with one another pretty much. It's sometimes, like, it's defense, offense, or DBs, quarterbacks, like, whatever that would. I thought he did well with his DBs and everything, so that's not really, you know, my position to, you know, speak on that. You know, I like CD as a person. I think he's growing as a man. You know, he's trying to find a relationship with God, which I think is dope. So yeah, I wish him none but the best. And you know, I'm gonna always be here for him if he ever needs me. But yeah, I'm always gonna be a fan of him.
I imagine, you know, when you lose, it can be tough for some people to keep the faith. Is the closeness that you all have what keeps you going, or is it, what else is it that keeps you all going that you all can turn things around?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, like, just seeing, you know, everybody's families after the game, you know, like, seeing, you know, guys on the phone with their kids, you know, like, things like that, for me, that motivates me as well. Yes, it's easy to have faith, you know, when, you know, you're doing well, you know, but now it's, you know, we've been checked, and now it's, you know, that's when real faith kicks in, when you can't really see it just yet. So, you know, our process is right now, you know, we just got to just put it on the field, and I think that motivation of having everybody around has been good.
How has the grasp of the system been? I know in the past with the system, it's been mentioned as kind of like hard to pick up, even going back with Deshaun. Are you picking up the system? Do you find it to be a little bit difficult?
I wouldn't say it'd be difficult. It's just new, you know, like everything takes time. I think, you know, it's something that, you know, you just, as you keep going along, keep pushing forward. And I think sometimes failure is some of the best recipe for, you know, breakthrough. Even though it sucks, it's not good in the moment, but I believe that I'll be great from it, and I'm learning a bunch. I think our team is starting to pick it up. But yes, you know, like I said, it's a mixture of, you know, doing some of the old stuff, you know, that they've done in their past, you know, Nick, and but also, you know, doing some things that we're good at. So we're just finding that balance right now.
That season, when Bobby was here, there was a conversation about the tempo of the offense, and you know, this past week is one thing that D'Amico has been talking about again as far as tempo is concerned. What does that mean for, you know, for the person outside looking in? What is the tempo? How do you pick up the tempo on offense?
I mean, that's, you know, it could be going fast. It could be getting out the huddle faster. There's like a couple of different ways you can go about it. But yeah, every offense wants to play with tempo and great urgency. We've been able to, you know, to get on the ball fast and do things well, like in that light. So yeah, I think that stuff has been good for us. And I thought we've gotten better with our huddle operation, you know, getting out the huddle faster. So yeah, all that stuff is, you know, great. And outside looking in, that's pretty much what that is. It's just being urgent to the ball and, you know, just playing, you know, making the defense kind of play catch up.
As a team, you guys obviously face some adversity with your missing some key guys, just the start to the season and even this week. How has this maybe challenged you as a leader, just overall as you continue growing that role?
Yeah, I think every year has its own challenges, you know. I know everybody always brings up, like, the past, but, you know, every year is different. And for me, I mean, I think in my past, like, there's times where it gets hard and you just try to, like, get past it instead of, like, leaning in to, like, see what you can learn from. And right now I'm just in that process of, like, doing both, you know, like, fighting through it, getting through it, and then also leaning in and seeing what I can learn about myself, about this team, about, you know, the NFL, about defense. So to me, I think it's, you know, it's something that, of course, it's new to me. Like, I haven't started like this yet in the NFL, but also I've had this happen in my career before. So, yeah, I just I'm just learning. I wouldn't say as a leader it's surprising, you know, that it's challenging, but I think that's what's dope about being a leader is, you know, when everything is tough, you know, who keeps the faith? And I think that's, for me, is like, the definition of faith is like of what you cannot see. Like, are you going to trust that? Because everybody, like, if God appeared right here, but like, oh, I believe in God now, you know, like, it's easy, you know. I know that's a whole different subject, but that's kind of like how I think about it. Like, I'm gonna just, as a leader, keep the faith, knowing that I haven't seen it just yet on the field.
CJ, 2018, the Texans were 0-3, and they made the playoffs. Last year, the Rams were an example of a team that had a very slow start. People kind of wrote them off, and they wound up, you know, going to the divisional round. Do you see the potential here for the turnaround? Do you think that you guys can do that? And do those examples mean anything to you?
Yeah, I think it's one game at a time, one play at a time. Like, it's cool because the NFL is crazy. Like, crazy things happen every week. And I think, you know, if you go in, like, oh, we'll just, you know, go make the playoffs at the end. Like, yeah, that, of course, I mean, that's the goal. But also, you got to just chip away, you know. And, you know, you think about the end in mind, but also you got to just want to know every play, want to know every down, want to know every game. And that's the goal, I think, that you have to start with. But, yeah, I definitely think it's possible. And I think I'm hopeful for that. And I definitely think we have the team. And it's not like we're getting blown out, you know what I'm saying? We're very close. And we got to just really just pick up our urgency. And I think that's what, you know, it's going to take is that exactly.
You talk about taking it one week at a time, but with where you guys are at, do you consider this week a must win?
Every week is a must win to me, so yeah.
You mentioned it happening another time in your career. I'm assuming it's high school.
Yeah.
I guess, what did you learn from that instance when you didn't have that time?
I learned a lot. Yeah, it was. I was probably like, it was my first time starting in high school, my junior year. I was like 15 or 16. Yeah, it was tough, man. Like, the whole school hated us. Like, people were riding on the boards. Like, our football team is trash. Like, yeah, it sucked. But I think, like, it prepared me for, like, you know, what's going on now. And that's why I just, you know, I stay rooted and anchored into, you know, the people who pour into me, who love me, and who I love. And I kind of just let the cards play where it's at. And I think for this team, like, you know, I was talking to Kells, like, to Aaron's point, like, they were 2-6 last year and everybody wrote them off. So that's what you give people, an inch to take a mile. And I think that's the goal, is, like, you know, to keep it internal and keep our eyes set on our goals, whatever it looks like. It changes. Like, if we went 3-0, it would look different. You know, we went 1-2, it would look different. So every year's going to look different. So, yeah, in high school it definitely was tough, but I think it's preparing me. College, same thing. We lost to Oregon, my second start ever, and I sucked too. Everybody hated me again. So, like, I'm kind of just, you know, like, it is what it is. And I just, you know, just stay true to my process and my beliefs and my faith.
With that being said, knowing the adversity that you all, like I said, like going through in this 0-3 start, how are you still able to block out? And I think I ask you this every week about blocking out the noise, mm-hmm. but, like, you know, this latest thing now is, well, CJ showed up with this hat on again. How are you able to block out that
hat?
Type of stuff?
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a lot of fans upset that you had on a Yankees hat.
I don't care about that. That's not my business.
That's the type of stuff that's going on in a lot of the fans that you may not hear, you know, on that, but there's a lot of things that we all hear. I just want to know, how do you deal with blocking out?
Yeah, I don't see none of it. I'm not on social media. Honestly, everybody has, you know, like, the right to their opinion. If they don't like what I wear, I would just not look at it if I was them. So I'm going to wear what I want. You know, and I don't think I'm being disrespectful. If I was being disrespectful, then that's a whole different, you know, like, case. But, you know, at the end of the day, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I'm all good. But, yeah, I just don't really pay attention to it. And, you know, I just try to just focus on what I can control and focus on the people who pour into me and are around me. So, yeah.
From a mental standpoint, going back to the slow start, is it kind of like – taking the bad stuff that comes with being a quarterback and the inevitable struggles, is it more difficult when it starts out so good and then the inevitable struggles come after?
We kind of had that last year. I think both are difficult, probably equally. I don't know. It's always, you know, I don't know. It could be both ways. It's whatever in front of you, you know, like.
Because you probably didn't anticipate it after year one, like, just naturally. And then it happens. But if you flip year 1-3, you would be like, oh, he's figuring it out.
Well, you don't. I mean, I can't. Like, that's like if I get a deck of cards, I'm playing Uno with y'all, and I'm like, dang, I wish I had all plus fours. Like, I can play those games all day in my head, but if it's not my reality, it's not my reality. So I got to play my reality. I'm solid. Yeah, my domino game is a lot better. So.
CJ, earlier today you said that you're learning a lot. What are some of those things, if you can share, that you're learning?
Just to stay rooted in my beliefs, in my process, in my faith. Those are probably like my main things right now. Yeah, just, you know, being anchored in who is pouring into me and who loves me and who also I love as well. And, you know, I like to, you know, just to love myself. I think that's a key point, you know, into life that I haven't really unlocked for a long time. And I'm starting to get that now, you know. The Bible says love your neighbor as you love yourself, but it's hard to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. And that's not being, you know, selfish, but, you know, just thinking of yourself less, but also, you know, helping others. So, so that's what I'm learning. Thank you, guys.
That's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud and his weekly presser with the media. It is a hump day. It's Wednesday. It's 4 o'clock. That means Dirty's Daily is coming up next. What should the Texans offense look like? I think we can all agree. We've heard D'Amico Ryans. We've heard Andre Ware. We've heard several people of significance speak on what C.J. does well. What should the Texans offense look like next time we see it on the field? We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Lollygagging.
It can rocket ship to the stars.